Was Jesus Christ really God on earth? Welcome to Probe. I'm Alden Thompson, host of our discussions on John's Gospel this quarter. My conversation partners are Paul Dibdahl, Bruce Johansson, colleagues in the Walla Walla College School of Theology. Welcome to our conversations.
Nice to be here, Alden.
Thank you, Alden.
Now, let's go ahead and start. We're taking the first 18 verses of the Gospel of John, and it starts out with this magisterial verse, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Is that clear that Jesus was God? I studied the Old Testament, Bruce, so I don't... You're the Greek expert here. Is that perfectly clear?
Oh, you know what they say about experts. I don't know. When I read the Greek as simply and as laymanly as possible, it does say the word in the Greek. The definite article is with hologos. It's hologos, and the word order is reversed. God, He is the Word, and really, by keeping the article with the word, it's just simply showing that the word is the subject of the sentence. It's not trying to say that the word was or is a God or is divine. It says what it says. The word was God.
Now, I think all modern translations make that quite clear.
Yeah.
With one exception. And it's from a community of believers, Jehovah's Witnesses, who really believe that Jesus was a created being.
Yeah.
And who was exalted to God. Now, I'd like to just ask the question, where might such an idea come from the Bible?
Oh, dear. I know where it comes from in early church history. I have a hard time with seeing where it comes from in the Bible.
Okay.
Might someone just read the fact that God, terms like God the Father and Jesus referred to as a son, might that be one way that they would say, well, this is apparently some kind of lesser...
Fathers always precede the sons. I think from that standpoint, just biological comparisons there, father and son.
Theology of metaphors.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a danger that we all fall into.
Yeah.
Teaching early church history has really helped me to deal with something that I have not come to solve, but I've learned how to accept and live with. And that is that the Trinity and the Incarnation are probably not explicable in metaphysical terms. The early church started out that way. They brought in philosophy from the Greek world. They characterized Father and Son in terms of essences of being, and so on, and then tried to find formulas that would make that clear. The New Testament doesn't go the philosophical route. It just goes the functional route. Mm-hmm. God is the Father, Jesus is the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Each has their function in the work of salvation. And yet, God is one. Mm-hmm. And to try and reduce that somehow to philosophical sense, the early church ended up people fighting and killing, and actually it really weakened the church from inside because of all the arguments and fights and everything. It's a wonderful mystery. Let the functional categories work.
By function, if you want God on earth, then you need to have God in the flesh.
That's right.
And as soon as He becomes God in the flesh, then He can't be everywhere present.
That's right.
So you need the Spirit.
That's right.
And, of course, in all this process, you still need someone on the throne in heaven.
Yeah. And the most wonderful thing about this prologue is it is a story about God revealing Himself to us through the Word, but also coming to be with us.
Mm-hmm.
And in a world of suffering, explanations don't always cut it for me, but somebody with me means a whole lot.
Yeah.
And I think that's a lot of what this is about.
For me, and I've heard a variety of people try to explain, for example, the Trinity, and it does become, a sort of slicing and dicing and explaining this is what the Father does, and this is what those do not warm my heart. I don't find myself drawn to those attempts.
How do you deal with it, Paul? Just in terms of practical terms, how you tell your students, what you tell your children?
it's really, I think, similar to what Bruce just said. I'm comfortable with it being a mystery, and not trying to reduce it down to some formula. The great news is that God, as was just said, God is in heaven. God is with us. God speaks to us. For me, that's the important thing.
I remind myself too that as human beings, we think in human categories with all the limitations inherent. And, you know, as somebody who grew up in a foreign country, I was born and raised in India, and I think of all the communication difficulties involved between cultures and levels of knowledge, etc., etc. Think of God trying to communicate with us little microscopic beings down on this earth. The huge barriers. And think of God allowing himself to come down. Actually, the word is to tent with us. Dwell with us is to tabernacle with us. Mm-hmm. To be a holy home with us. Mm-hmm. That is just incredible. And that's what being a missionary is all about. It's not just, shouting to somebody over there or sending email messages. It's going over there and being with them.
Mm-hmm.
And that is amazing.
I remember an article title by Max Phillips. The title of it was, it's not something that comes directly in John, because John doesn't have the birth narratives, but it's Christmas, and all you can do is cry.
Hmm.
As a reference to our God. It's Christmas, and all you can do is cry.
Wow. Yeah.
And if we can somehow recognize that we are so terribly important to God, this little tiny speck in the universe, and each one of us an even tinier speck,
yeah.
God came, became flesh, and dwelt among us.
Mm-hmm.
That's really a very powerful story. Now, in this prologue, we also emphasize that this word is also creator. What kind of exclamation point does that do in the prologue? What does that do?
Hmm. In fact, that comes out in a couple places in verses 1 through 5. The centerpiece of that in verse 3 talks about Jesus. All things were made through him, and without him, not anything was made that was made. And later on, you have a reference to that again about Jesus in verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world knew him not. It's the Creator coming to claim back his wayward creation.
Uh-huh.
So this revelation and this being with us is involved in reclamation,
mm-hmm.
of something that he had made but didn't make into a robot, but made as something with a will to choose, and now he's going to come back and try and love this creation back.
Now again, coming back to the Trinitarian controversies, it's quite clear that God is the creator of all things.
Yes.
All things came into being through him.
Mm-hmm. Exactly the same things are ascribed to Jesus.
Yes, mm-hmm. You see. And if this is Jesus, then Jesus could not be a created being, since the Word created all things.
Yeah.
See, and that, so it's emphasizing again that this is God in human flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, before our time runs out, we must go down and talk about that 14th verse. And the Word became flesh and lived among us.
Tented among us.
Tented among us. Okay.
Tabernacled.
Tabernacled. Now, there's a phrase again which is probably misleading. The older translations, King James, for instance, is the only begotten, which makes one think in terms of biology. But if I remember vaguely, so my Greek background, that this is not the biological one. This is the verb to be, which has to do more with existence, and that's why most modern...
The only existing son. The unique son.
The unique son.
Yes.
The NIV speaks of the one and only.
The yeah. one
I
and
like
only.
That.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a good rendition.
And there's a good passage in Hebrews 11 where it refers to the same phrase. Isaac was Abraham's only begotten son in the older translation.
Existing son, yeah.
He's the unique son.
Yep.
See, and he is the son of promise.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
That's why I think the modern translations really have this right. But to think that God became a human being and lived among us, took on human flesh, that's an incredible passage.
Alden, could I just run with the thought that we had touched on before?
Okay.
The Word became flesh and tabernacled with us, mm-hmm. full of grace and truth, and we have beheld His glory. The connection of glory with Shekinah and tabernacling with temple is, I think, a double. There's a resonating background mm-hmm. there. So this, as God dwelt with Israel long ago, now Jesus has come in the flesh, and He is the temple, and He is the glory. Bruce, John does a lot of this in his gospel.
Bruce is talking with, you know, the Jewish background, but John's use of the Word, which we haven't really touched on yet, has ties with Greek, real strong Greek
very
background
rich.
As well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So John, even the very beginning, the opening phrase, and I guess I'm jumping backwards.
Yes,
but
good.
In the beginning, for a Jew, would automatically, they hear the words, in the beginning, it's reminiscent of mm-hmm. the very beginning of their scriptures, Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
But then we have the concept of the Word,
yeah.
which would be an immediate tie-in to the Gentile culture, yeah. the Greek yeah. culture at the mm-hmm. time. Mm-hmm. So he speaks with this both yeah. kind of audiences, people yeah. who are living in both mm-hmm. worlds, and does it with words that will connect.
That's them. Right. And in fact, the Jewish writers before John connected the logos of Greek philosophy with the wisdom of God in mm-hmm. the wisdom literature, which was active in creation. Mm-hmm. And in fact, if you look at Genesis 1, how does God create the world?
Through Word.
Through the Word. He speaks it into existence. Yeah. So there's all kinds of stuff going on.
You know, there's another wrinkle here, Bruce, as you mm-hmm. mentioned this, is tabernacling, the glory, and the Shekinah.
Yeah.
All language which is centered on the sanctuary in the Old Testament. In the sanctuary, there was kind of a graded distancing.
Yeah.
You know, you have the most holy place, the tabernacle, everything. But now here, you do away with all of that.
That's right.
And you have the Word made flesh and dwells among us.
Yeah.
You see? So
perfect access.
Perfect access. Immediacy. Yeah. It's just yeah. really amazing.
Barriers are gone.
Yeah. Now, just a quick comment about the modern world and the ancient world. Jews would have had a terrible time initially understanding that Jesus was God, because their Messiah was the Son of David.
Mm-hmm.
How does one overcome this in terms of the New Testament? I mean, almost nobody believed Jesus' message when he was on here on earth until after the resurrection.
Mm-hmm. And even then, it was a process before things yeah. became clear.
Right, yeah. So we can't expect to go back to the New Testament and find these crystal clear statements about all of a sudden how God becomes human flesh. That's an incredibly difficult idea to process.
Yeah. It's something that happened over a period of time, and that takes us actually back to Proverbs, the wisdom of God, is personified. And then if you go to some of the other Jewish writers outside, they had a view of wisdom as God's helper in creation, personified.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in those categories that they began to see Jesus, and the light began to dawn.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we can certainly find evidence there in the New Testament, but and you're referring to the wisdom literature, the Old Testament, but in the New Testament as well. But it was a truth that was so amazing that it was difficult mm-hmm. for people to accept
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, it's quite clear as we look at the end of the Gospel of John, the beginning of the Gospel of John here, the focal point is that Jesus is clearly an incredible and powerful revelation from God. Now, we're going to talk about that again next week, and it's time for us to bring our conversations to a close. I want to thank both of you, Paul and Bruce, for joining me, and we'll look forward to next week when our topic will be simply something better. Take one more step into the gospel of John. Thank also Steve Cochran, our program engineer, and all of you for listening in to a program. I'm Paul.
You've been listening to Probe, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla College and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you may call 509-527-2194 or email probe@wwc.edu. Join us again next week at the same time for Probe.